This is News in Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. On today's roundtable, Condoleezza Rice meets with black clergy about Africa, Iraqi and U.S. forces back on the offensive, and Family Medical Leave Act forces a debate. Joining us from NPR in Washington are Yvonne Bino, author of Stand and Deliver, Political Activism, Leadership, and the Hip-Hop Culture. Also with us, Joe Davidson, who's an editor with the Washington Post, and at NPR West syndicated columnist Joseph C. Phillips. He's in our studios there in Culver City, California. I thank you all for joining us. Greatly appreciate it. One of the things that we want to take a look at today is the idea of the continued insurgents fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan as well. Part of the issue, particularly for those troops on the ground in Iraq, is that the insurgence seems to be a lot stronger than first believed by the Bush administration, and it certainly puts this administration's, and in particular these soldiers, in a quagmire. Joe Davidson, what do you see in this picture?
Well, I think that the history of the last couple of years in Iraq has demonstrated a number of miscalculations when it comes to the insurgency. The insurgency clearly has been much stronger and much more long-lasting, I think, than the Bush administration ever anticipated. It seemed for a while that there was a big spike. It seemed to kind of level off for a bit. And now we're back into this incredible period of slaughter, really. Something like 700 people in Iraq have been killed in about the last month. And so I think it clearly indicates that the United States, the troops of the United States and the Iraqi armed forces are going to be in for a big, long, tough battle before this war is anywhere near being over.
Mm-hmm. Yvonne?
I tend to agree with Joe, but I guess where I have some reservations still is whether or not, this was even the right thing to do. That boat certainly has sailed. But I think if they had looked at the history of that area in Iraq and seen who had gone there before and the problems that have been in existence for not decades, but hundreds of years, I think there should have been better planning as to what needed to happen, as well as what was the resilience factor of the people that are on the ground. You have a lot of different religious factions, and you have probably secular issues as well that I just don't think are really being dealt with. I think they used a Western strategy to deal with a non-Western issue, and I think that as long as that remains the case, we're going to continue to see miscalculations that are going to result in more casualties.
I think that miscalculations are part of life. It's part of war. We're all geniuses in hindsight. I think that what we're not talking about right here is something that has continued throughout the war and continues today, even as we see a spike in the terrorist activity there, which is that young men continue to show up and volunteer at the risk of their lives, the lives of their families, to join the police force, to join the Iraqi national forces, to protect the streets and to protect their families. The tide is shifting there. I think that we absolutely need to be clear on who the heroes are. The insurgents there are not freedom fighters. They are fascists hiding behind cafes. The heroes there are the young men, as I said before, who are fighting them. And I think it behooves us to do everything that we can to support their efforts.
But also, too, I think we have to be clear. There's certainly some ambivalence on the part of many Iraqis as to who are the freedom fighters and who is the enemy. Certainly, we have people who are coming forward who do want to bring about a new day in Iraq. But there are also, too, people who are really just not clear. And we have to acknowledge that. They're not sure that they really want the American presence there. They're not sure that they want to fight their fellow Iraqi.
They are sure that they want liberty and freedom. And that is what
sure
the insurgents...
Well, you know,
that
sure
is what the insurgents,
all right,
that
hang
is what
on,
the
hang
insurgents
on.
Are fighting against.
I think
as
that even,
the, can, let me
hang,
just finish
on.
This one thought. Can I just
quickly,
finish this one thought?
Quickly.
As the new government takes hold there, as the forces grow and get stronger, the Iraqi forces grow and get stronger, we are seeing an increase in the number of people who are giving intelligence to coalition forces, who are fighting against the insurgency.
Okay.
Isn't part of the issue here, Joe,
and pick up on your point, some of what Yvonne brings in, and that is the idea that while we have all of this going on, you do have a United States presence that is tenuous at best across the board.
And, you know, I think that this is not just a matter of saying everything is 20/20 in hindsight, or even that the ship has sailed. I think that a lot of this was known and discussed before the invasion of Iraq. There were a lot of misgivings in official circles, certainly in unofficial circles, and so there was a lot of what we're seeing now really was anticipated before the invasion. And so I think that to simply say, to kind of offer an analysis that one side is the terrorists and one side and the other side is the heroes really does not begin to approach the complexity of this situation, and really does not address the question, which for many people I think is still relevant, as to whether or not this undertaking should have begun to begin with.
Well, that ship definitely has sailed, and I hate to say it, but for a number of people it was an issue, but most people disagreed with that analysis and reelected this president with gave a resounding defeat to that analysis.
All right, Joe, to be honest, I don't know that we can say because the president was elected that most people disagreed with the analysis, but clearly
sure,
those
they did.
Who voted
it was,
with
it was,
him.
It was an issue in the election.
No, you can't.
And
there was one side that said, well, we shouldn't be there. There are no hard, fast numbers that suggest that most people in America, one way or
what
the
I'm
other.
What I'm suggesting is that if the majority of Americans had felt, as Joe Davidson expressed, they would not have reelected this president and this administration to handle this war.
We won't get into the numbers that came to the polls, and that's my only point. All right, we'll move on to a different issue, and that's Minister Louis Farrakhan, who has now asked for a congressional investigation into the alleged desecration of the Quran by guards at a U.S. prison on Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. This based on what made a lot of news over the course of the last couple of weeks, and that's the Newsweek article. Newsweek, of course, has backed away from that premise that the Quran was desecrated by being thrown down the toilet. An investigation was had and released last week that suggested that there were some issues, but not that particular one. Minister Farrakhan's point is there is, whether it be desecration by throwing the Quran down the toilet or not, there is an issue with the United States treatment of Muslims as far as he is concerned. Yvonne, do you believe that there should be a congressional investigation?
Frankly, I don't. I'm not sure that I'm going to totally buy the Pentagon's account, but I think it's more than likely I'm willing to go along with the premise that there probably was mishandling. Some of it was inadvertent, and some of it might have just been against what their set-aside protocols. That does not mean that I don't think that there might be prejudice or some bias against Muslims, but I think that we have to be clear that we can go overbroad with some of these allegations as well. I think that what we have to do is decide what is going to be a process that we're going to deal with when these allegations come up. I'm not sure that I like the government policing itself. I'm not sure at this juncture what the best process would be, but this Gitmo thing, it keeps resurfacing. We've had other allegations, Abu Ghraib. There's certainly something there, and we have to get some policy that's transparent, that people can have some confidence in. Right now, things keep cropping up. We have these investigations, and they really don't get to the core of the issue. So I don't know that another congressional investigation is going to really solve anything or put even as a PR process. I don't think that's going to be very helpful. But I think that it behooves us to find some process to get to the bottom of these allegations when
All right,
they
Joe?
Come up.
Well, I think that if there is going to be a congressional investigation, it would probably make sense for it to go beyond just the allegations involving the Koran. Amnesty International called Gitmo the gulag of our time, and many people think that's it's overreaching, and it may well be. But that would be the purpose of any investigation, it would seem to me, is to find out exactly what happened, when it happened, why it happened, how up and how high up the responsibility goes.
Joseph?
You know, I'm sorry. I was just sitting here trying to remember, and I may have missed it, the news conference held by Farrakhan denouncing the shredding of Bibles by Muslims, the murder of innocent men, women, and children by Muslims, the desecration of religious icons by Muslims. You know, after coming on the heels of Memorial Day, I'm just a little bit offended by some of this talk that's going on. Americans have shed blood and defended Muslims all over this world. And I would like to see Minister Farrakhan or some prominent Muslim cleric stand up and give us some credit. The treatment of the detainees at Guantanamo has been extremely humane, given prayer mats, Muslim clerics coming to help them worship, special food, people bending over backwards to make sure that the Quran is not desecrated. I mean, it's just, it boggles the mind that you know that we're having this conversation.
Well, I don't know how it boggles the mind, Joseph, if in fact we saw a government investigation. Released again last week, that did suggest that there were some indiscretions, some problems, some issues with dealing with the prisoners on Guantanamo Bay, but not specifically about the Quran being thrown down the toilet. So while I agree with you, credit should be given, that doesn't supersede the idea that if something is wrong, it should be looked into.
Well, absolutely. And I think that you know, the army there. And I think that my point is that we're bending over backwards not to have this kind of thing with sensitivity training for the guards. And I mean, I read a report.
But does that mean if there's a lot of good going on, the bad should not be investigated?
No, what I'm saying really is that I think that this is a thinly veiled effort to embarrass the administration and embarrass the war effort. I mean, listen.
But you know, in the eyes of many people in Muslim countries, these kinds of allegations are like probably a minor part of their frustrations and anger toward the United States. They've had this anger toward the United States certainly since the invasion of Iraq.
I don't think it takes very much to get some of these people angry, quite frankly. When you look at people like the murder
of
Theo Van Gogh,
quite a bit.
A woman writes an article, Miss Universe pageant a couple of years ago, talking about Mohammed and his marital practices. And people are ready to stone her to death. She needs armed guards. My point is that, you know, this, if it's not this, it's going to be something else. And we're not, when you balance that against what Americans are doing positively, and you don't get any credit for that, then my
Well, see, I think the big problem is the invasion of Iraq overshadows everything for people in the Muslim world. It simply overshadows everything. No matter how much good the United States might have done, the invasion of Iraq kind of just basically overshadows that totally.
And also, too, certainly there has been good. But again, when you don't have a transparent process, when these allegations linger in the air for weeks at a time, you add fire to the flame. So that's why I'm suggesting that I'm not sure that I would go along with a congressional investigation, but it has to be a quicker, transparent way of looking into these allegations, because certainly there are people who are troublemakers and are looking to discredit the American efforts, but they're probably at very often credible allegations that should be dealt with quickly rather than hanging about.
Let me get us to one other issue before we run out of time, and that is Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is meeting with a number of prominent black ministers across the country. And what they're claiming is they are going to work hand in hand a faith-based foreign policy initiative to fight AIDS and other issues in Africa. And they claim this to be, from the Bush administration, part of their Africa mandate. Joe?
Well, I think that it's interesting that a predominantly conservative group of black ministers would meet with the administration on this. And I certainly hope that some strong action for Africa would come of that. Because, you know, it's the United States is last among the developed nations in terms of its contributions, its overseas development assistance as a proportion of its national wealth, gross national income. Mm-hmm. So I think anything that can be done to improve that record so the United States is not dead last would be helpful.
All right, Yvonne, real quick for me.
I just really am troubled by the fact that these conversations seem to be very segregated. Back in 2003, he had a discussion with quote-unquote urban leaders. Now we're having this black church thing. And I just really think that certainly the continent of Africa warrants a real thoughtful policy, a strategy. And I don't think it necessarily has to be all black. So when you kind of say, well, you black guys over there handle Africa, I don't see where that's much progress in terms of our nation's development.
All right, Joseph Phillips with about 45 seconds.
Well, I think that this administration has shown a real commitment to Africa, first of all. And I think that this kind of process is the kind of compassionate, loving act that, as a Christian, I like to see. As a taxpayer, I'm not so thrilled by it, and I think that it smacks of big government solution. Americans, contrary to what Joe Davison just said, Americans are the most compassionate, most giving people on earth. And I think if you free Americans up to do just that and take government out of the equation, that we will see a lot of aid and faith-based aid in Africa, doing the kind of work that needs to be done.
All right, Yvonne Bino, Joe Davidson, and Joseph C. Phillips, I thank you all very much for joining us. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Coming up.